The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, unless there's no actual sports to talk about. And then we find something else to do. Hey, let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on, you remarkable bitches, for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel. Baltimore. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will read it. It makes him feel important. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. There's a also, the Twitch channel.
Are you listening to the Twitch channel on your computer?
Oh, I must be turned on. God, why is my damn computer not muted? I didn't listen to anything. Oh, I was listening to music. Never mind. Yeah.
Pro it up
a little. I can't hear it because I've got headphones on, so I didn't even know. But yeah, the Twitch channel is, you can get in there and chat. And it's a Wednesday when you call, text, tweet, Twitch, whatever the hell you do, put odds on it. Well, yeah, it's going to be a fun show, Hoffman.
Percent 1,000,
I'm feeling
we're
it
We're going to make it fun.
I am
if
feeling
it's not
it
fun, today. We're going to make it fun.
I'm feeling it, man. So, last night we went to Big City Wings for Patrick Creighton's birthday bash. Very cool. I got enough wings for lunch today, too, so I was in good shape.
That's
two for Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, I noticed something, though. It's like, as it started getting crowded, like when it was just six or seven of us, I was fine. But when there were about 14, I think Aaron left when I left. When it got to be 14, 15 people that I don't really know at the table.
Did you have anxiety?
I started feeling a little anxious, yeah. So I kind of stood aside and gave up my seat.
Did you leave for the same reason, Aaron? Or were you just, you had your fill?
No, I my food was ready. I finished my beer and then it was time to go home.
So you partied to go?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the plan all along.
But. Well, it's an interesting choice for Aaron, though, because, I mean, his to go, that's a healthy drive. By the time that he gets home, I mean, not only is his food probably cold, it's probably expired and no longer
safe to be eaten. So he has to eat it on the way.
Right. Is that what you did?
No. I made it home and it actually was still fine. I will say that Google said because of the non-existent traffic, it would take me about 38 minutes to get from the marquee down to my house. And I will not say how fast I actually made it happen.
Okay.
Because we have some wonderful people, law enforcement. I don't want them looking for me now.
They can't get you. They can't get
they
you.
They can
now.
Start looking for me in the future.
Statute of limitations is passed.
Maybe slow down in the future.
And just make up what kind of car you drive.
So yeah.
Like, yeah, I drove my green Hyundai Elantra, my lime green Hyundai Elantra. I drove 92 miles an hour, and that's okay.
And got there in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Not quite that good, but.
Oh, okay. Because mine it told me 25 minutes, and it was 13.
Yeah, Google told me 38. I got there in 27.
So. Was Google concerned about the traffic last night for some reason?
I don't know. It said it was just clear.
Maybe they knew that there was a bunch of drunk people leaving the Patrick Creighton party, and they wanted to give you time for an accident. I don't know.
Well, it was Patrick had a nice turnout.
That's good.
So, yeah, it was good to see
Patrick,
him.
Patrick, you've become very famous, I must tell you.
Yeah, and he had fun, so it was cool going. It was good to get out to Big City Wings again and just, hang out and got to see some, Donna, the original Blitzer was there and Crystal and all those guys and Dr. Dre and Clarence.
Dr. Dre was there?
Yeah, Dr. Dre, you know, Dre on 290.
Oh.
Doc on 290. Oh. He was there.
Well, all right. Well, I
guess
not the
right. Same guy, but,
you know. He's like, man, Patrick Creighton has become famous.
Oh, he is famous. He knows a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it was really cool to see everybody. It's just, but it got to a certain point where I was like, okay, this is too many people for me.
I could see it getting that way.
And that's kind of where I am right now. It's like, I'm okay with our like little Thursday night steak night where it's all of us at one table and it's everybody I know. But when it starts expanding to like twice that, That's where I get uncomfortable. Is that wrong?
You're treating the Rona like an STD. Like, as long as you stick with the partners that you've already had,
pretty much.
Feeling okay. No. Even though you don't know what they're up to during the week.
No,
like
I
leading
don't.
Up to steak night.
I don't, but I also know that if any of those guys come in contact with somebody, they're going to tell me.
Like, I hung out today at lunch with Eric Warner and Dave Ulmer, and we had some beers together. And I've seen them both separately. It's the first time we'd all been together, but I don't know what they do during the week. So they could have been, I've been around them since Rona started.
Well,
but
yeah, Eric
I don't
was
know
in
what
here,
kind of funk they're into.
But Eric was in here 2 feet away from us on
True.
Monday, so it's... It's certain people you trust, and if one of my friends
or certain people you just have realized this is the risk I'm taking.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, I'm willing to take a risk for people I know, I guess. How's
yeah.
that? But I also know that if they come into contact with somebody and find out, they're going to tell me, and just like Trey did.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. That's going to happen, by the way, no matter what.
Like me who will keep it a secret. Like, when I found out that I'd been in contact with several people with Rona, I didn't tell any of you. And sure enough, it's all worked out.
But everybody else told us about all your Rona people, so.
Oh, yeah.
You can't keep a secret around here in radio, man. Come
true.
On. What else is happening?
Well, it looks like what we discussed yesterday, it looks like they're going to go ahead and say, yep. All good. There's nothing stopping us from playing. So baseball will happen. I'm warning everybody, though, don't expect baseball to make it through the whole year. Because look what happened to golf today. 5 golfers tested positive for the Rona.
But if a golfer falls in the fairway, does anyone hear it?
And doesn't golf have to be, I mean, it's up there for really the safest sport.
Yeah, theoretically.
I mean, it's about as safe as you can get. And turns out, well, 5 people got it this week. So that's not good. The way baseball's doing it seems like it's going to be less safe than the way the NBA's doing it. I think the NBA's got it right, and I know nobody wants to hear that because everybody wants things to be normal. So they want to say, let's play in our stadium, let's have our games with our fans, and that's what people want, but that's just not feasible. And I think the NBA going to what they're going is really kind of them looking forward and saying, well, we could do it the way where we have 25% capacity in our stadiums or whatever the case, but eventually we're going to have an outbreak. And then we're going to have to go to something like this. And I thought all along the best thing for Major League Baseball, and granted, when I first thought this, we didn't realize how much of a kerfuffle it was all going to be for Major League Baseball to get to playing again.
Good word.
Thank you. But I thought that the best idea that came up was the play in Arizona and Florida scenarios.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that would have made perfect sense.
And you'd kind of do what the NBA is doing, except in those spring training facilities. And, you know, I mean, I get there's still some travel in those instances, which you can't avoid all travel.
But it wouldn't have to be that much. And
it wouldn't have to be air travel.
No. And I've been saying all along that you could cluster these things, and the NFL could do the same thing, frankly. You could cluster them where you're limiting people getting out. But I think at this point, and like I did a thing today on the percent chance your sport comes back. And I still have baseball only at 60 because if there's a bunch of explosions in cases among teams between now and then, they're probably going to have to say, you know what, we can't do it. So I still think there's a chance they don't play. They have a plan. And at some point today, I have a list of every single thing that they have to do that's been compiled. It's, you know, they're going to be taking as much precaution as they can. But my favorite thing about baseball being back is how all of a sudden everybody's tweeting about, oh, baseball's back and the Astros are still cheaters.
Oh, God. Who cares about that?
Let it go, you morons. Come on. I mean, is it really, you know, that big of a part of your life?
Yes. It's a big part of everybody's life.
The world's falling apart. Everybody's, you know, we're on the verge of a civil war. But you can still hate the Astros. I'm glad you can do that, guys. All right, lots to get to on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Please don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Cause it's about to get heavy.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And hey, I have something cool for the people I'm going to give away in the 5 o'clock hour. And you might be interested in this. From my friends over at Warehouse and Black Horse Limo. Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers are going to host the Walkout Podcast live for UFC Fight Night.
Nice.
On Saturday. And doors will open at 3. The fight broadcast is at 4. I've got 2 4 packets of tickets to give away to people today. And I think Lance McCullers is going to be on with John and Lance tomorrow.
All right.
To talk about this too. But the folks over at Warehouse back and running and toying with the idea of going Saturday night and checking it out because that's right down the street from me. So, but I'll be giving those away in the 5 o'clock hour. If you're interested, 2 4 packs. So, 26-26 on the Twitch. What are the odds by August and September getting the Rona won't be as big of a deal as it is right now and just be something we have to deal with? I don't know. I wish I knew. I do think there are some encouraging signs, like the death toll has gone way down. But I also, as much as I've said the cases are going up, obviously, because we're testing more. That's also going to apply to the death toll, right? Because before it was a percentage of people tested, and now it's still a percentage of people tested, but there's more people being tested. So I don't know. I wish I had an answer to any of this. I don't.
I think you do have an answer. The fact that the Texas Medical Center came out today and said 97% of our ICU beds are full. That's an alarming number. And we knew that the cases would go up. We were certain the cases would go up. But the concern would be, when do we start scaling back, like on ICU beds? Like what's the capacity before we start to say, uh-oh.
Right.
So I think...
And you know what's lost, though, AJ, is that the Rona's not the only thing out there now. I mean, there's still people sick. Yeah. With other stuff. There's still
it's the same stuff that's always been. Yeah. There's still people who have cancer. There's still
people and there's people who wind up in ICU.
Get hit by cars.
You don't exactly. And you don't and if it does get too crowded, then you know, what do you do with those people? But I don't know, man. I don't have any answers at all about it anymore. I'm just kind of trying to be smart, you know, trying to but still get out and do some things and enjoy life a little bit and you know, but I do have kind of limits on things, and I've sort of found that out, and it's weird because, you know, I'm not worried about stuff. Hell, if I if I die, I've had 55 damn good years on this planet. Well, 54 and a half damn good years on this planet. But I'm not worried about it. It's just I am worried about other people, and you want it to stop spreading because we don't want the beds overrun. We don't want. We don't want to have to start to stop again, which I can't see happening. I just don't see a scenario where they say, okay, we got to shut it down again. I think it's just got to run its course at this point. 409 said, I run a bank and had 2 customers test positive on Friday. Now a teller had a fever today, hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Yeah. See, that's and that's the thing. We're going to keep running into situations where, oh, I was in contact with this person who was in contact with this person. Yeah, it says if we stop all this damn testing, people won't have Rona. Yeah, that's what the president said. That's true. That will make the Rona go away. That will make the numbers go down. Adam says, what are the odds the Astros average more than 500 fans per game if they start allowing people in? He's quote-tweeting Chandler Rome, who said, Jim Crane says the only thing that we have to do that can counter the team's revenue loss is to get some people in the building and sell some tickets, some merchandise, some cold beer, whatever they'd like to have. And it is interesting, the NFL today came out and said that they're going to leave it up to the individual states and individual teams as to whether or not they're going to allow fans in.
See, that's all nice and good in theory, but right now, doesn't it seem like there's zero chance that works?
I don't know, man.
I mean, there's a lot of time between now and then.
Right.
But if you were trying to implement that today, it wouldn't work.
Well, I think it's that you will see. I'm pretty sure in Texas, especially, you're going to see people in the stands, and whether it's a small amount or not. But if it's that's not going to affect the players. They're not going to be in contact with the players.
Right.
What it'll affect is, okay, what if you have a guy who's working concessions who's in contact with somebody and then they get it? So, I don't know, man. I'd like to sit here and pretend like I have answers to stuff. I don't. It's just, I mean, all we can do is keep doing what we're doing and hope at some point that this slows down a little bit. And, you know, I don't know if it's when it's going to. Maybe it will, and if it does, great. But at least, you know, you're going to have some sports back. There's that.
For however long you've got them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When do you shut things down as a sport? Now, as a society, I don't think we're going to shut things down again. But as a sport, if it starts going through your entire teams, when do you say? Because the NBA, when it first happened, I mean, they shut it down right away. But one or two positives, do you do it? I don't think so.
I don't either.
You just do your best to try to keep it from, you know, getting to all the other teams. And with baseball, like I said, they've got some really weird rules that they're going to do. Like in your when the pitchers are warming up in the bullpen, they have to bring their own balls. Stuff
that's,
like that.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is.
They're not going to throw the ball around the horn like after a put out.
Well, there's going to be stuff like, you know, if you're on base and the inning ends, usually like somebody will bring you out your gloves and your gloves.
You have
and
to
stuff.
Go and get your own stuff.
You have to go get your own stuff.
Well, and I'm telling you, like that throwing it around thing, that's something that you do from like the time you're 10 years old until you stop playing baseball. It's not once you've done it for long enough. It's almost habit. If there's nobody on base and there's a ground out and you're the first baseman, your instant reaction is to throw the ball around.
Yeah.
It's what you do. So there's going to be guys who, I don't know how they're going to enforce these rules. Like if there's going to be a punishment or if it's going to be like, hey, don't do that again, because guys are going to do it.
Right.
Whether on purpose or accidentally, that's because it's just ingrained in you. That's part of baseball.
Yeah. I think it's,
almost like the touching hands after a free throw.
Yeah.
Like
I'm okay with that going away, especially after a miss.
Oh yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like it when they make it, because if I make it, I don't want anybody to touch me. I don't want to step off my spot. I've just made a free throw from here. I don't want to move, and I don't want you to touch me. And I don't want to high five you after I miss a shot. That doesn't seem cool either. So I'm fine with that going away, but I do think that there are going to be people who it's just that's what they do.
Well, I've said all along I'm more worried about sports like basketball, hockey, and football where there's physical contact throughout between people, especially sweaty people. That's where I think you're going to see more of a problem than baseball, because you can socially distance in baseball. It's you don't have a ton of contact. They've banned there's some good things that they've done, like ban fighting in baseball. That's baseball fights are such anyway. Yeah. I mean it's like some of the biggest kitty cat athletes
in the
world.
Nobody's trying to fight in baseball.
No.
Like, there might be five guys in Major League Baseball who are like, okay, I'll fight.
Yeah.
The rest of them just want to posture and you know, they want their boys to hold them back, you know, and they want to shove around a little bit. But it's a rare breed that actually wants to throw down. And mostly, truth of it is, most of them are foreign-born players, like who probably came from environments where it was – more likely to throw down. American-born baseball players, those kids ain't throwing. So last time my kid played baseball, he got the first pitch high and inside. No big deal. Second pitch literally knocked him down. It was so high and inside. And
I guess that's a scouting report, is pitch him high and inside?
I don't know. But then the third pitch hit him in the shoulder. And he threw his bat and just stood there at home plate staring at the kid. And I was like, first of all, you don't know how to fight. So what are you going to do if things pop off with you and this pitcher? You don't know how to fight. What are you going to do? Go
and
out
you
there
put and, down your best asset, the bat.
Well, yeah. Well, thank God. I mean, if if for whatever reason there's a Little League baseball fight, the last thing that we need involved is a baseball bat. That would be bad. But I said, dude, that's the number one way to get your ass kicked is pretending you know how to fight when you don't. I and that goes in pretty much every walk of life, because eventually you will run into someone, you will posture up against someone who actually does know how to fight and actually is willing to fight. In our society, we're a civilized community, and most people don't, they are worried about going to jail if they get in a fight in public. Where I ran into this the most was in basic training. And mind you, when I was in basic training, I had no martial arts training. I wrestled in high school, so I had in junior high, so I had a background in wrestling, but I never wrestled anyone in basic training. But the thing about basic training, and anybody who's been in the military will probably back me on this, people lie all the time in basic training about their backgrounds and what they like, how dangerous they are. They like to, it's like some sort of mind game where they want to intimidate you or like trick you into thinking that they're a black belt in karate or something like that. And everybody's an ass whooper there, except for me, of course. And, but one thing that I was indeed was not afraid to get in trouble, because what I found in basic training was if you get in trouble, really the worst thing that happens is you just do a bunch of push-ups. And you know what I was really good at? Push-ups. So when I realized, oh, I'm going to, you weren't allowed to, put the music down, I'm going to finish telling this story. You're not allowed to eat the cookies there or drink soda. That was specifically for the drill sergeants. And if anybody other than the drill sergeants ate said cookies or drank said soda, well, they were going to do push-up. The whole unit was going to do push-ups until somebody threw up. Well, guess who knew that they weren't going to throw up? It wasn't going to be me. So I would just eat cookies and drink soda, and then some fatso in my unit would have to we'd just do push-ups until he threw up.
Good for him, though. That's,
and then I got cookies. Yeah. Now, this did not make me a lot of friends. But what did happen was people who were karate black belts or gold gloves champions, sometimes I would, if they started to disparage me for eating the cookies or drinking the soda and getting everyone in trouble, I would sometimes just hit them in the face. And guess what they wouldn't do? Hit me back, because they were scared to get in trouble. And it goes all the way through your life. Do not pretend you want to be in a fight if you aren't willing or able to get in a fight. And baseball players, basketball players are up there too, amongst the worst at it. They don't want to fight. They don't know how to fight. And basketball players, because they're built so awkwardly, most of them, they have no, they can't control their bodies in a way that would allow them to fight.
Kevin Durant has probably never been in a fight in his
life.
No way.
No way. But Kevin Durant, because you're in this culture of masculinity in professional sports, you have to pretend like you know how to fight, or you're willing to fight. Like, oh yeah, I'll throw down. The problem is eventually you run into a guy who will actually throw down. And that's when things get ugly for people who don't know how to fight. So I had to give my son that lesson. And I would give every baseball player the same advice. You don't know how to fight. Don't pretend.
You know what your son was probably thinking. My dad can kick your dad's ass.
No, not in my house. You start your own, you end your own, bro. That's on you. My dad wasn't fighting for me. And there were plenty of times where my son has sort of the same problem I do, although he's a bit friendlier about it. He is sort of a comedian, and he makes jokes often at the expense of others.
Wow, I wonder where he got that from.
Right. The difference is I did that all growing up. The difference is I was actually willing to fight, because that sometimes you do that, you got to fight. And I wasn't a great fighter when I was in high school or in junior high. I got my ass kicked a few times. I got my share of licks in, but I was by no means undefeated, trust me. But my son, no idea how to fight. Wouldn't know, just can't do it. I put him in some classes. It's just, he's like, I want to go play baseball again. It's not for him.
Yeah.
He's not about that life. But yeah, if I started stuff, my dad wasn't going to save me from it. So I'm not saving him either. If he gets beat up by some pitcher, which, by the way, the pitcher looked like he was like maybe a 22-year-old Dominican kid. Well, that's on you, bro. You started that.
All right. Let's go to break now. We'll be right back. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. What are the odds Wednesday? Of course, everybody's bringing up, what about Nolan Ryan? Who asked Jose Bautista?
Nolan Ryan. Jose Bautista didn't want to fight.
No.
Rookie Odor was willing to fight.
Yeah. Ron Artest. Yeah. You know what?
Those are exceptions to the rules. You're bringing up
the outliers.
Yeah.
Think about how many, quote, benches clearing brawls there were in baseball last year, where basically all the guys did was run out, hug some guy, and grab his ass.
Well, that's really what they do. In the case of Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan, I think Robin Ventura was, again, trying to posture. He wanted to fight.
And he had no idea the old man was going to put him in a headlock and beat him senseless.
He ran into a real one. Yeah. And
roid rage, by the way.
Maybe so. And I think the same thing is the case with Ruggie Odor and Jose Bautista. Jose Bautista wanted to have this sort of macho, like, hey, let's bump chests until someone breaks us up sort of a situation.
Hold me back.
Whoops. And Ruggie Odor was like, no, bro. I'm just going to swing on you, and that's what I'm saying. Like, every once in a while, you'll find an outlier, but that proves my point.
Right.
Yeah, Venezuela.
Yeah, Jose Bautista and Robin Ventura both learned the lesson, don't posture if you're not actually good at fighting. Like, don't pretend like you can, because you will eventually get your ass whooped. And now think about think about Robin Ventura. Robin Ventura was a pretty good ball player in that time. You know, one of the better third basemen in the league. What's Robin Ventura remembered for? Like, what is his legacy as a ball player now? It's literally getting beat up by an old man.
Yeah.
When you say Robin Ventura, the first thing that comes to people's mind is him getting beat up by Nolan Ryan.
One of my favorite things, I wish I still had it, the first time I left the Chronicle in 94 when they did my going away party, they photoshopped a picture of my face on Robin Ventura's with my name on the back of the uniform and Nolan kicking the crap out of me. I wish I still had that. That was pretty badass. Couple things. Space Ghost likes the shirt. This is one of the shirts that A-Bear was selling at Lucky's. As soon as I find out where they'll be available again, I'll let you guys know, because they are pretty cool. I've got like three of them. They're fantastic. And Chancho says, hey, guys, been held up in the hospital since Friday afternoon. The coronavirus is no joke. I'm only 30, and it's kicked my butt. Looking forward to watching y'all talk sports instead of just laying here like a sack of potatoes.
Chancho, are you a great big fat person by chance? I mean, I don't mean that as a disrespectful way. I'm just curious. Yeah,
it sounded very disrespectful.
I'm curious because I want to know. I want to know if it can get everybody, because I do. Most of the young people I know who have gotten it because they have other health issues, like they're diabetic or something like that, or they're extremely overweight, which I'm not surprised by, but I do want to know if there's 30-year-old healthy people who are just getting this stuff.
Yeah. And if it's something where you've got asthma or something like that in addition, yeah, it would be nice to know that. So you don't have to go to the fat card right away, AJ. That was kind of a dickweed move. But yeah. I mean, there's other health issues that you can have without, are you a great big fat person? 832 says, don't joke, Fred. Nobody had Photoshop in 94. I did work for a newspaper where we could do all kinds of things design-wise. I don't know if it was Photoshop at the time. I think it was, but I don't know. But, yeah, we were able to design things like that. It's not that far back, guys. So,
Photoshop was invented in 1987.
Okay, so suck on that, Texter. Yeah. I knew it was something. But we were able to do stuff like that. We didn't do much of it in 94. But yeah, it was.
Well, and yeah, the Chronicle had a budget back then. They could do anything.
God, yeah, we could.
Those were the good old days of newspaper.
We could cover whatever the hell we want, you know? But yeah, I wish I still had that because that was kind of a cool going away present. Of course, I went back like a year later, but.
That's always awkward when you have like a big goodbye and then you come back.
And I never intended to go back. I'd started a horse racing magazine when the track opened and I was doing picks and I thought the magazine would take off because at the time we thought horse racing was going to be really huge. And the very first day when they had 22,000 people, I was like, okay, this is great. I've made a good business decision. And
then the next day there was
there were like five of us there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was,
people love to show up for the grand opening. And really that's baseball in general. Most sports.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Opening day of baseball. Like if the attendance is any indicator, it's going to be a big year.
And they totally screwed up because that first day they charged like $20 to get in. And everybody for months after that thought it was $20 to get in every day. It was just for the first day. Mm. And so, yeah, it was a rough year. And then I was thinking, okay, I got to get a job because my spouse at the time decided right about the same time I was going to do this, she was going to quit her job and go to law school. So suddenly the income was pretty much nothing.
Right.
Except for what I was making on the horses, which, you know, was hit and miss. And some weeks were great. Some weeks were not so good.
You know who hates that? Spouses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because if I had a bad week, you just forget it. It's like, well, you're the one who quit your job to go to law school. But
well, you're the one who thought your horse racing magazine was really going to take off.
Well, I also expected to have a little financial support on the other end. But as it turned out, I went to.
She knew you guys were getting a divorce anyway. She just tricked you.
But it was another 10 years before we actually got divorced. Maybe longer than that. I don't know. But I was looking at getting a real job, and I got offered a job by the Houston Post. And the same day,
the failing Houston Post,
the Chronicle offered me a job to come back. And
you were in high demand.
Well, I was kind of a star back then, AJ. I know it's hard to believe now, but I was pretty damn good at my job. And I was weighing the offers. And my dad, it was still alive at the time. God bless him. I called him and said, hey, what do you think? Says, don't go to the Post. So I called him, took the job at the Chronicle. The next day is the day the Post shut down.
Ooh,
so
it was the failing Post.
Yeah, that was the day they got sold. My dad had some intel on it, and which he wouldn't tell me. He just said, "Don't do it. Go back to the Chronicle." And the Chronicle's offer wasn't as good either. But
because they knew the Post was going out of business.
Yeah, apparently. So, but yeah, so that's how.
I mean, probably if you'd taken that job with the Post and they shut down the next day,
they still would have hired me.
I mean, you still would have. Yeah, the Chronicle would have said, "Okay, we'll allow it."
But. Yeah, they still would have hired me. I mean, they wanted me back. But, oh, well, Crypto Astro, Fred, how is John McClane to work with? Is he a nice guy? John McClane's one of the best people I've ever been around and one of my favorite people on the planet. And I know he catches a lot of grief from people, but the people who rip him on Twitter, if they had half that guy's work ethic, they wouldn't be on Twitter. They'd actually be out accomplishing something. I mean, he works his ass off, and he's a really decent human being who goes out of his way to help people.
I like that.
I
like that, Fred.
No, I'll never.
I appreciate it, Fred. You always got real good things to say about me.
Well, and listen, we disagreed a lot when we worked together. It's when you're the boss, you're going to disagree with people. It doesn't matter. I mean, it was always.
I was the boss.
It was respectful. Well, kind of. John kind of got to do his own thing. It got a little awkward at the end because when I had to start cutting back, you know, he had to start covering some other stuff that, you know, wasn't really what he wanted to do, and I don't blame him because
I don't care about them Rockets. I'm here to cover football and food reviews only.
but yeah, and you're always going to have it. Like Jerome and I had our clashes, and Richard Justice and all those guys, but I loved working with them. I had a fantastic staff there. It was incredible. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You ain't got to ask me when you see me, no, I'm straight. DCOVO, we back again, we going. You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Man, if that song doesn't get you pumped up, you're dead. It makes me want to go kill a bunch of vampires. King Larry says when the Astros win it this year, they should just have the two diamonds made into an asterisk just to give everyone a big bleep view. I like that idea. I'm pretty confident in the Astros this year. I mean, I know that they're not going to be able to cheat, but I'm sure they'll find a way. Mighty Joe asks, what are the odds NASCAR tries to blackball Bubba Wallace?
0 points.
Yeah, I do wish, I don't know if you saw his comments, but it's just like he won't let go that he thinks somebody did this. And I have proof and all this, and I saw this. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought you didn't see it. If I were him, I would just say, hey, it's a misunderstanding, but this is a lesson we can all learn from and look at. Look at the great moment we had because of it. That's the direction I would take with it. But, you know, it does seem like he's just trying to dig his heels in on it. And getting back to Twitch, where Choncho says, I am pretty overweight, but no other health issues. Lost nearly 20 pounds of this because of this, so there's that.
So you're saying that's a bonus of the Rona.
Yeah, so that's a great weight loss program is what you're telling
you're
me.
You're saying look at the bright side.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll be better off when you get out.
Right.
Let's take a call on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, sports, fellas.
Sports, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm about to go through my first divorce, and I wanted some pointers for Fred.
I love that we're the home for divorce advice. Fred, hey, give him some good ones, Fred.
I suck at marriage, but at divorce, I've gotten to be pretty good at it.
Although, haven't you taken it in the pants a couple times?
Yeah, but I've also, I've also learned what not to do.
Okay.
It's just
all
like
right.
Poker. I've learned what not to do most
all right,
of
Ryan, what's your question? What do you need? What do you want to know?
I don't know. I guess child support and stuff like that. How does it suck and does it suck that bad?
Well, how many kids do you have?
Say what?
How many kids do you have?
I have one.
Okay. How old?
She is a year and 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That's going to suck.
Yeah, that... See, that's
17 years, yeah.
No. Are you the breadwinner? Like, are you the primary breadwinner?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Is the divorce sort of your fault? Like, did you cheat on her or something?
No, I didn't. We kind of fell apart, and I didn't want to be in the relationship anymore.
Okay.
All right. Here's what the first thing you got to do is make sure you have a good lawyer. And if you need some advice, I have a friend who's terrific at family law. And so shoot me an email, fowler975@gmail.com. I'll give you her contact info. Her name's Blair Parker. She's a fan of the show. Get a good lawyer, let them do the work for you. This sounds terrible, but don't be the nice guy who wants to go through it and make it a nice, clean, friendly divorce. 'Cause there is no such thing. And I've learned that because I've tried that. You have to get somebody who's going to bulldog for you. And look out for your interests. And, yeah, it's going to cost some money, but it's going to save you long term. And the child support is, I mean, with one that young, I think mine were, I want to say 8 and 5. So I was stuck with it for a long time, too. In fact, I got my letter the other day that I no longer have child support to pay for my daughter.
Is it framed?
No, but it was kind of cool. No
it's
offense.
It's almost like a graduation.
It is. It's kind of like, hey, congratulations.
You made it.
But yeah, and then just make sure you're looking out for yourself from a mental health perspective, because it can get depressing. It really can. And you just let your lawyer handle it. Make sure you got a good one that's going to sink their teeth into it and move on. But don't go jumping into another relationship. That's the biggest mistake you can make. It's give it at least a year. Nobody wants to hear that, but that's true, because there's always going to be a bounce back. And they're going to try so hard to be so different than the
Well, the
one
good news
with.
Is, too, it's probably hard to just meet up with some strange right now.
No, this is a good time to not to be able to do that. So, yeah, and the one thing, make sure that when you do pay your child support, it's, you know, it's a pain in the ass, but it's also the right thing to do. And you know, if you get behind, then you will get in trouble, serious trouble, because I had some issues with that early on, too, because I thought in our – this is why you get a lawyer and you don't think you can get away with an amicable split, right? I thought part of my arrangement was I wasn't going to have to pay child support for 6 months for giving up my share of the house. And then 3 months into
it – So you'd have a chance to, like, catch up. And-
yeah, and because of time, I was making a whopping $2,500 over at the over at Cumulus, $2,500 a month. And I get a thing in the mail that – basically, there's a warrant out for me because I'm 3 months behind on child support. And so I had to go to court, was put on probation for a year. All this, you know, without any knowledge, right? I mean, I thought I was fine. So not only do I get put on probation for a year, and basically I have to catch up right away, which I had to go sell a bunch of guitars and stuff.
Yeah.
And I got caught up, and then I paid it, and I actually got ahead and wound up not having to pay as much these last couple of years. But yeah, I was on probation for a year where I had to fill out a thing every month that I'm supplying them with health insurance and I'm doing this. And it was a pain in the ass. And when you go in that courtroom and they read all this stuff at you, you feel like a freaking criminal.
Well, you were a criminal.
I had no idea. I just thought, okay, hey, I'll go straighten this out, pay the money. No, you're on
now
probation
you know,
for a
crime
year.
Crime doesn't pay.
No. So, yeah, it's make sure you don't get behind on that because it's a nightmare. But that's the best advice I can give. And you know, I know everybody wants it to be amicable. It just don't even bother because you will get screwed. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I get asked about that a lot. And I guess because it's you know. I don't know. Then, well, a lot of people are on this Bubba Wallace thing.
Does it feel to you like Bubba Wallace was behind this? Because no. It doesn't feel that way to me.
No, I don't think that at all. In the end, I think it's either just a complete misunderstanding or somebody's a real moron. But the fact that he kind of came out today and he's saying, "Well, I saw this and this is what it," and maybe it was already there, but and things like that. I'm like, dude, you know, that's not making you look good. And and right now, I mean, there was a positive that came out of this, man. The way all those guys came together was cool as hell. I never thought I'd see that in NASCAR. Not that I pay enough attention to NASCAR to where I would see it anyway, but. That's the last sport where you think, you know what, people are going to come out and be... I mean, that was fantastic. Take that out of it. That's what I would do. I said, look at how we came together. We sent a message. And, yeah, it was all a big misunderstanding. But these are the kind of things that we need to be talking about. That's what I'd be saying right now. I wouldn't be trying to double down. That's just me. Could be wrong. I often am. Hence the 3.5 marriages. Squeeze in one more. Tony. Go, Tony. Tony,
hello?
Yeah, you're on, man.
Yes. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, we're doing sports. What's up?
Hey, guys. So I listen to you guys, and I like listening to sports radio. And what I've noticed on your lineup, there's a lack of diversity of all your hosts. The only one that you have, I believe, is Booker T, who's at the end of the day. How do you address that going forward? What
are your
plans to address that going forward?
I mean, well, certainly we're not hiring anybody right now.
Yeah.
You know, Dell has a major part in the morning show. He's literally on mic from 7 to 11, and he and John host the show, basically. He's a producer, but he much like Nick does with Joel and Charlie, he's a on-mic producer. Aaron is probably of all the producers here, you're probably on mic the least, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just it's a really, it's at sort of the behest of the shows. Like if you know, if I were in here by myself, I would probably prefer Aaron mic up more. But Dell is a major part on this station, certainly. Nick is not a white guy.
Yep.
I hate to break. Fred's sort of a white guy, I guess.
No, I pass as white, so I don't really count the fact that the only time that it ever comes up that I'm half Syrian is when I'm in the airport. It doesn't come up anymore because I pass.
Fred bleaches his skin like Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
So no, I listen. You can ask around. I don't think that that anyone around here is against hiring a black guy. In fact, several before I was the PD, even I tried to get a guy named Rod Babers to work here, and yeah. We had actually like because we were looking for a host.
You thought we had thought and, that deal was done.
Yeah, and I Rod is a guy that I worked with in Austin, and very good, talented young guy, and we had the deal done, and it turned out that the company he was working for was not willing to let him work.
The
basically.
Devil.
Yeah, they're the devil. So nobody's against hiring black guys around here. But I also am. I'm not going to hire a minority for the sake of hiring a minority. I'll hire someone who's good at the job. You know, would it be great if we were more diverse? Sure. I'd love to see that. But I'm also, you know, I'm about giving guys opportunities who have earned them, no matter what their background is.
Yeah, and right now that's just such a meaningless question because we can't hire anybody. Yeah. I mean, we're not in this, and frankly, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. But at least you didn't give the Bill Simmons answer.
I mean, listen, the only shows that I've put on the air since I've been here are Brad and Booker and Josh Innes, who works for free. So I have, you know, I haven't hired a bunch of shows. So I don't know. And I get that thrown at me a lot. Like, how come you're not hiring any black guys? How come? I mean, I'm not hiring anybody.
And talk about diversity. Craig over on the network's been trying everything now. I mean, he had the first all-female host show. And, you know, it's not just getting people who aren't white. You know, you want to have more women involved. We've tried to do all that. I know Craig's done a really good job of being very
diverse.
Listen,
I'm not hiring any women. What are you talking about?
I know that you're not. But no. But the thing is, you want to have a diverse. And we ran into this at the Chronicle. This is another thing. And I don't want to do too much Chronicle stuff. But when we were hiring there, I mean, we had to try to diversify the staff because it was nothing but old white guys when I got there. That was it. And those are not the voices that represent everybody. The problem you run into is finding someone who's talented enough to do the job, who's also a minority.
Right.
And, you know, it's not saying that there aren't talented minorities out there. What we ran into is bidding wars. If we found somebody we liked who was a minority who was really good, guess what? We were going to have to pay the hell out of them because somebody else was trying to do the same thing. So a lot of that comes into play. But right now it's all moot because, I mean, the Rona may kill us all, and it may kill the station at some point. I don't know. But we're not exactly going to be out going and hiring anybody for a while.
Yeah. So. And there were a couple. We had a couple guys. We did Rock the Mic. And I think of the first five seasons of Rock the Mic, I think we had three black guys who were the champions in the first five seasons.
Yeah.
And they all came here and we tried to develop them. And none of them, you know, none of them ended up working out here long term. But if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think Adrian does anything in broadcasting anymore. He does high school football games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Cam and JT, they also do that. They also do high school sports, but they've got their own thing going. So,
And I try to get Jermaine on the station as much as possible. Yeah. And it, I mean, we do want different voices and we do try to get them. It's just, you know, the situation, the way it is now, we're all lucky to have jobs and we're lucky to have the people that we have.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And, you know, and again, this is the same thing that I bitch about baseball going over all their usual stupid stuff they always do. Now's not the time. Yeah. And at some point it will be. And I'm sure we'll address it.
All right, I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance, one of the fastest growing agencies in the entire state of Texas. Why, you may ask yourself? Well, they've made actually saving money on your home insurance really, really easy, which is a great thing because used to you had to sit in an insurance office and talk to an agent, and you don't have to do any of that anymore. They've got a system that's already shopped all the home insurance prices for every home in our area, and they know what you can be saving, and it's time for you to start getting that money. Grab your phone right now and text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. Reply back with that. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and their savings are real. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews, and the average customer saving nearly $900 a year. And there's no need to wait for your renewal because TGS is going to save you money right away. They're going to get you refunded from your old policy and get that cash back in your pocket now. TGS is open now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving today with TGS.
ESPN 97.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.